Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
We'll be in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. And the title of the message today is The Father and the Divine Robe. I want to concentrate on that robe that the Father put on the Son whenever the Son repented and returned back to his Father's house. Let's begin in verse 11. Then he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living or wasteful living. Verse 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, that's very important, verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now watch this in verse 20. But when he was still a great way off, Father has not even talked to him yet. He sees him approaching. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Verse 21. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of the lost sheep, of the lost coin, and of the lost son. And Lord, we pray today that you would help us to understand what it means when the Father put the best robe on the Son, and how to apply that to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard the story about a young evangelist that was working the mission field in northern Mississippi. And so he gets up there and he says, you know, I've got to win people to Christ up here. So he takes off down a country road and he sees an elderly man sitting on a porch. So he walks up to the porch and the elderly man's got a big chaw of tobacco and he's just relaxing. And the young man walks up to him and he says, in the appropriate time, he said, Sir, are you a Christian? And the man replied, Well, the Christians live about a mile down the road, down there on the right, a piece off the road. Well, the young man's a little bit frustrated because he can't figure out how to get him into spiritual conversation. He says, No, what I'm talking about, I mean, are you lost? He said, Well, no, sir, I've lived here all my life and I know right where I'm at. Well, the young evangelist, he's getting more and more frustrated. So in desperation, he says, No, no, no. I mean, are you ready for the judgment? And he said, Well, when is it? And the young evangelist thought, You know, I've got his attention now. And he said, Well, it could be today or it could be tomorrow. And the man says, Well, listen, if it's going to be today or tomorrow, don't tell my wife for heaven's sake or she'll be there on both days for that judgment. When we're explaining spiritual things, or we're explaining parables, we have to give the understanding. What a parable is it is a physical story that has a spiritual implication. And so when we're looking at these parables in Luke 15, we have to understand what's been taking place since Luke 11, or even just prior to Luke 11. I mean, there's the Pharisees and the scribes just prior to Luke 11, and they're trying to trap Jesus in his words. They're looking for something they can accuse Jesus of. And so the Pharisees are out to get Jesus. That's their main goal, because the message that Jesus Christ has is convicting them of their sin. And so they don't want to hear the message that Christ has, so they want to condemn him. And by the way, the Bible tells us that it is out of jealousy that they even cried out to crucify him. It was not because the evidence was there. It was because they were jealous of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus goes through all kinds of teachings between chapter 11 and chapter 15. And he gets to chapter 15 and he decides it's time to give y'all a lesson in why I'm here. It's time to remind you all of why I left heaven, why I came to earth to seek and to save that which is lost. And we're going to do that, and it's going to be in some parables. And he gives them a parable of a lost sheep. Then he gives them a parable of a lost coin. And now he gives them a parable of a lost son. Three words, lost. And when we come and we ask a person, are you lost? And they don't have the spiritual understanding that we do, and they don't understand the scriptures the way we do, they can take that wrong and think, well, no, I'm not lost. I know right where I'm at. But you can be lost because you are separated from God and in your sins, and it's a spiritual thing that he's talking about. Look at chapter 15, and the first thing I want you to notice is this. So what I want to do is connect the dots of some other scriptures to this so you can get the picture of how the robe comes to play in this story. So look at verse 11, and the first point is this. The best robe is where you will find God's love is waiting just for you. Where God's love is waiting just for you. Before I tie some scripture in, think about something. The Bible says a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. I mean, he's wanting his inheritance even while his father is still living. So he divided to them his livelihood. Isn't that what God's done for you and I? We have life in him, and we have it more abundantly. He has divided to us his livelihood. By the way, there's some great pictures here of how to love our children. Look at verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Basically, he got his stuff, he cashed in some dollars, and he headed out of town where he could live an independent life apart from his parents. And he gets out there, and things are good as long as he had money. But then the money dried up. And when the money dried up, the Bible says he became in need. He became in want. And then he decides, he comes to himself, the Bible says, and he decides, I need to return to my father. And so he comes back to his father, and he says that even if he had to eat the pods in verse 16 that the swine were fed, he had been happy with that, because he says, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. He says, I'd be glad to eat what the swine eat, because he was in want. You know what it takes when we come to the Lord's love? When the Lord, listen, God loves you. And God loves your children. You may have children that have gone wayward. You may have children that are off in another direction in life, and they're so far from God, and you're asking yourself, Lord, what do I do? Let me tell you, do this. Do what this father did in the prodigal son story. What did the father do? He surely prayed for this son. He surely avoided getting bitter at his child. Because had he got bitter at his child, he'd have never took off running for his child. So what did he do? He prayed for him, and he loved him. And he says, God, I'm not giving up on this boy because you didn't give up on me. That's the kind of attitude that he had. And so the Bible says that even when the son was afar off, he ran. In verse 20, he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The best robe is where you will find purpose and meaning in life. Now here's this son, probably has hit the bottom of the barrel, rusted a hole through it, and he's underneath it. And he's coming back, and he thinks, my father may not have anything to do with me anymore. Possibly he's disowned me. I wonder what he'll say. I wonder what my brother will say. I wonder what my friends will say that are there. I wonder what the servants are going to say. I'm probably going to receive a lot of judgment, condemnation. The father is probably going to put all of his guilt on me. Son, if you just knew what all you've put me through. Son, if you just knew what you've done to me. He probably expected all those things. Father didn't do any of that. Did you know when you got saved and when I got saved, I expected the Father to do that to me? Son, look what you've put me through. Look what you've put yourself through. Look what you've put your family through. He didn't do any of that. You know what he did? He forgave me. And he cleansed me. And he washed me. And he gave me position. He gave me dignity. He gave me love. He gave me forgiveness without any of the guilt. The guilt, the conviction of my sin brought me to the forgiving Father. The conviction of the sin of this son. He said, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. And he says, the Father ran to him and he kissed him and he hugged him in all of his filth. And that's what God does today in His Son, Jesus Christ. He puts His arms around the filthy people of this world. And He says, I love you and I want to save you and I want to change you. And He does it from the cross at Calvary. One of the best things you can do for your children, when they come to you in repentance for something that they've done wrong and they ask for forgiveness, don't remind them of the hurt that they put you through. Because you just erased all the forgiveness. Remind them of who they are as your child. And say, you know what, you're my child, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you. And you'll see a complete different child. But if you want to use it as a battering ram to get your way and to get your word out, you've lost out. That's not what this father did. The father is a picture of our heavenly father. You say, well, I've made that mistake many times. Guess what? I have too. I got two kids. We all have made that mistake. But we have a model to follow, a pattern, a principle, and we have that in Jesus Christ. And when we choose to do it His way, it always pays off. This son found purpose and meaning. Look at verse 21. He says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And am no longer worthy to be called your son. By the way, picture this, because the father is out in the field meeting his son. They're not up around the crowd. It's just the father and the son having this conversation. They're out there by themselves. It's the picture of when you come to Christ on your own independently. You come to Christ in the field with the father. Nobody's there to answer for you. You answer for yourself, and it's a contrite spirit. It's saying, Father, I've sinned against you. But I love verse 22. I can just see them as the father has forgiven his son, and they're headed back, and they're headed to the home, and I can just see servants kind of walking up saying, who is that with him? Who is that he's with? And I mean, the crowd begins to draw near, and he gets back in verse 22, and he says, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe. The robe, you didn't bring out the robe unless it was for a certain person at a certain time of a certain day for a certain festivity and a certain position. And the father is saying, you go in the house, look in that trunk where I keep that robe, that special robe for a special person, for a special honor, and bring it out, the best one. Look through them. Don't get the worst one. Look through them. And here's this son. Dirty. I'm sure his clothes were filthy. I'm sure he was filthy. He was hungry. And the father saying, bring out the best robe and put it on him. That's what the father has done for us in Jesus Christ. He's given us the robe of righteousness. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. You know what the father just did? He has not only restored his son, but to a greater dignity. His son left the house as a son. His son came back in kingly apparel. Whenever you and I give our heart to Jesus Christ, He has made us into a royal priesthood. We are called saints. Can you believe that? We're called saints. That's the picture. He gives us purpose and meaning. This is really important to how you live out your Christian life, how you live for the Lord. It's this. He brings out the best robe of liberty. That's freedom to bring glory to God in your life. We have to remind ourselves of that very often. He had liberty to bring glory to His Father in His life at that point. You and I, when we give our heart to Jesus, have been given liberty. The Bible says to stand fast in that liberty by which you've received. You've been given freedom to please God. Prior to your salvation, you could not please God. But once you've been born again, you've been given liberty. You've been given freedom. He says, listen, here's what it's like this with God. We wake up every morning. He's awake all the time. We wake up every morning and it's like, Lord, I wonder if you'll have anything to do with me today. I'm just not the best person in the world. The Lord wakes up and He says, I've already checked on the list that I've got your day already planned out. I've already checked it on the list. I've given you permission today to bring glory to my name. I've given you permission to live freely for me, pleasing me by faith today. And Satan comes along and he wants to decharge our battery. It's kind of like a weed eater. I got a cordless weed eater at the house. I love my cordless weed eater because I see how fast I can weed eat before the battery goes dead. And I know that if I let off the trigger and pull the trigger again, it takes a lot of juice to re-crank that weed eater. I'm not letting off that trigger. I can hear the hum. It's getting a little lower. And that's what Satan does. Satan hears the hum. And Satan comes and he whispers worries. And he whispers anxieties. And he whispers discouragement. And he reminds us of all of our sins. And Satan does everything he can to decharge what God has put in your life to be charged up every single day. Because He's given you liberty to live for Him. Now think about that robe. Genesis chapter 3 verse 7 is the first time we see the garment or some kind of garment. In Genesis 3, that's when Adam and Eve sinned against God and they fell. And they recognized that they were lost. They recognized that they were separated from God. They had never experienced it before. They didn't feel that communion, that 24-hour, 7-day-a-week fellowship that they had with God. It had disappeared. They recognized their shame. And you know what they did? They went and got fig leaves, sewed them together, and made garments out of fig leaves. The Lord teaches them a great truth in a physical way. Genesis chapter 3 verse 21, God kills the first innocent animal that I believe ever had to die. And that innocent animal gave its life and He made from its skin, He made tunics of skin and He gave them those clothes to wear. And then we continue on through the Bible and we get into the next book of the Bible. It's like you have the scarlet thread, the blood trail that goes from Genesis to Revelation. Along with that blood trail, because the garments are affected by the blood. You find the blood, you find the robe. And in that trail, you go to Exodus chapter 12 and remember what the Lord does. I mean, in Exodus, He's trying to deliver Israel out of Egypt. 9 plagues have taken place. Israel still stuck in Egypt. 9 plagues. Pharaoh won't let them go. But on the 10th plague, Pharaoh's going to let them go. On the 10th plague, that's where release takes place. On the 10th plague, that's where you and I are released. That's where we are set free. The 10th plague is when He says, kill that lamb or that innocent animal and put a father for your household. Go get some hyssop and put the blood on the lintels of the door. And tonight, at midnight, when the death angel comes through, all the firstborn that are protected by the blood will live, and all those that are not will die. That's why the Bible says in John chapter 3, for assuredly you must be born again. Why? Because in the first birth, you stand naked and exposed like Adam and Eve, covering themselves with fig leaves before God. You go to Luke chapter 12, verse 32, and He says, for there's nothing covered that will not be uncovered. The Pharisees are deriding Jesus, and they're trying to get Jesus, and they're after Jesus. And Jesus, he tells the Pharisees, he talks to them, and he talks to the lawyers, and he shares with them their hypocrisy. And he says, listen, basically, I'm God. You're not hiding anything from anybody. There's one day your nakedness will be revealed before the Father, and you'll be judged for it. But he says, if you've been covered by the robe of righteousness, Isaiah 61:10 talks about, for I have the garments of salvation. It's powerful. Have you ever wondered about Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1? Remember when you ask yourself, what is that robe? What is the robe of righteousness? How would you describe the robe of righteousness? It's described perfectly in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. He says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up on a throne in the temple. Notice, in the temple there's a throne. Notice, he's high and lifted up. Notice, and the train of his robe. Think of a wedding gown and that long train that follows. And the train of his robe filled the temple. What is the train of his robe? What is the robe that filled the temple? It is the glory of God that we fell short of in Romans 3:23. It's his glory that is the robe of righteousness. It's the very thing we fall short of, that Jesus Christ came and lived under the law, yet without sin. The Bible says on the Mount of Transfiguration that he was transfigured before them, and his raiment was as white as white. No launderer could make it that white. He was in his Shekinah glory. And he says, I'm going to take my glory that pleases the Father without blot of sin. And if you'll come to me like that prodigal son, and you'll admit that you're exposed and that you're naked before God, Hebrews 4:12 and Hebrews 4:13, for there is no creature hidden from his sight. The Lord can see right through the fig leaves of our works, religion. The fig leaves of there is a way that seems right unto a man, but therein leads to death. But he says, if you'll take and you'll be clothed with my son, Jesus Christ, then you'll be saved. But not only will you be saved, I'll see you in his glory. Did you get that? That gives purpose for waking up tomorrow morning, because you've been given liberty to bring glory to God in your life. Did you know there's something you have to put off? Paul talks about putting off garments. You see, that son, when he came to himself off in another country, and he decided to go back, the first step that he took towards the Father was this. Put off the old man. That's repentance. He took it off. He goes to the Father in a repentant mindset. No longer wayward living mind. He's returning to the Father where he knew he would be loved. Where he knew he'd have purpose and meaning. I want to show you one thing that you can't miss. Look at Isaiah 61:10. I want you to see purpose and meaning that you have in the garments of salvation. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Did you know praise and worship, and we've been doing that this morning, is a purpose that God has given you? There is something that glorifies God when we are praising Him and we're singing to His name. And I love this church because everybody sings. Why do we sing? Because Christ is in our heart. And the Bible tells us, did you know that even in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, that the Holy Spirit is making groanings on our behalf that we can't even interpret or utter? In other words, He knows the mind of Christ. And when you and I are praising God, and when you and I are praying, it's like this. And I remind myself of this every time I bow my head to pray. That when you bow your head to pray, the Holy Spirit bows His head to pray. But He prays the perfect will of the Father. You lift your head up and stop praying, He's still praying for you, but in a different way. But as your head is bowed and you're praying specifically, He's praying with you in what you're praying, because He's giving you the petitions that you can ask. That's what a father does. He gives you the liberty to bring glory to His name. Look at the next part. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Now He addresses the soul. That's meaning in life. It's not about circumstances. Listen, if your joy is set by the clock of the world, you'll never be happy. But if your joy is set with the pendulum of Jesus Christ and the Word of God and His truth, then the joy of the Lord will be your strength, and you'll have strength no matter what's happening in the world around you. Because your joy has not been deflected and adjusted to the world. Your joy has been adjusted and primarily aimed at the glory of God in the Father. Changes everything. Changes perspective. Gives us courage. Gives us joy. Gives us a reason for the defense that is within us. It's powerful. Now look at the last part here. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. You cannot miss that word right there because it's plural. You say, why in the world is it plural? Because if we had time, I could take you to Revelation, but let me finish that verse. For He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Wow. You see, God doesn't miss nothing in His word because there's another garment that you've been given. Not just the garment of salvation, for the righteous acts in Revelation chapter 19. For the righteous acts of the saints is the white linen. They were clothed in white linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints. You say, so you're telling me that I have liberty to bring God glory in my life? Yes, not only that, I'm telling you that as you do, it's being kept for the glory of God. We are going to be rewarded with our righteous acts are hung on to. Keep living for Jesus. It's worth it. And adjust your heart to the Word of God and to His joy and not to the things of this world. And watch what God will do in your life. He'll change everything. When you wake up tomorrow morning, you've already been checked off that you can bring Him glory in your life because of your relationship to His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us via the radio today. Come join us anytime at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church.